again, a very special lady is here. She's always with us. Once a month, Michelle Segal, Commissioner, Department of Consumer Protection. And we're talking today about something that is very, very important, and that is drug disposal. Because you don't know where that disposal ends up. Mm. And when you don't know that, it could be very, very injurious to you, no question about it. And why is drug disposal so important? That's the reason. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here. Thank you. Pleasure as always. But so thank you for giving us a chance to talk about drug disposal. It's a really important issue with the opioid epidemic, mm-hmm. other issues going on. What's really important is for people to understand if you have a prescription, perhaps for pain medication, maybe you had some surgery, you had a tooth pulled or something, and now you took two of the pills and you got 10 sitting there.
Yeah.
What we don't want is we don't want those sitting in people's medicine cabinets. You need to dispose of them, and we want people to dispose of them correctly. And so thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to people about that.
Disposal of medication, Commissioner, as you say. First of all, well, it's a twofold issue. Number one, medications do go bad. So if you were given, as I was a few years ago, for a tooth extraction, you know, you don't want those Percocets or whatever you're taking to be there for 2 or 3 years and then, oh, I twisted my ankle. You know, I can take one. No, number one, medications do expire, so you have to get rid of them in a certain
way.
That
happened to you?
Yeah. And I had some expired medicine, but, you know, so number one, you have to get rid of expired medicine for your health if you need new medicine. But number two, the way you do it, correct, it can affect the environment and have really extensive effects on other folks unintentionally of how you get rid of that medicine.
Right. So, right. The first thing is get them out of your medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
One, they're going to lose their effectiveness, as you pointed out. But two, what you don't want is, you know, unfortunately, people who develop these addictions, their prescription runs out, they're still addicted. So where are they going to go to now get their pain medication? Some people buy it on the street,
yeah.
But for a lot of people, they'll go to that. They'll if they have access, easy access to somebody else's medicine cabinet,
yeah.
They're going to go rummaging through there and see is there something in there that'll feed my addiction. And so you don't want to inadvertently become a source of supply for someone who it could be a friend, a neighbor, a family member. You may not even realize they're suffering from this addiction, and now you're inadvertently supplying them. So you got these medications. You don't need them anymore. Get them out of your medicine cabinet.
Have you been to people's homes and seen this this type of situation?
It's certainly, you know, I'm not often in other people's homes and medicine cabinets, but it's certainly something we hear about, or we hear of situations somebody's put their home up on the market for sale.
Yeah.
And now up. Who knows how many people are roaming through unattended.
Let me go look at the bathroom, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
All
yeah.
of a sudden can take
That's
something
true.
Out of the medicine
yeah.
cabinet. So it's certainly something we hear of a lot. And you look at surveys of where people get their you know, pills when their prescription runs out. One of the common answers is that they find it out of somebody else's medicine cabinet.
Now, Commissioner, I know that there are certain ways to get rid of these. And I know that you have health you have health experts, you have environmentalists who are saying, listen, don't dump these pills, if you can at all help it, in the regular garbage. Don't flush them down the toilet. Don't flush them down the sink. You may think that's good, but some of that gets into groundwater. So I know in my general area where I live, my local police department and my local health authorities, they have once or twice or three times a year a dead medication drop-off or a used medication drop-off, much the way people turn in guns and other things where they can say, hey, no questions asked, I don't need these pills anymore, take them off my hands.
Perfect. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's really a really great way to get rid of these medications. Because, right, you don't want to flush them down the toilet. You don't want to get them into the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So a really great thing, and this is a great program we're really proud we set up at the Department of Consumer Protection, is there's actually now a network of drop boxes, 85 to 90.
Wow.
Across the state. They're in police departments.
That so, many?
Yeah. They're all over the state. So you can visit our website. We actually have a map. You can find one right near where you are. And what's great, so the police have been great partners for us, and it's a great service they're doing for their communities, you know, when it's what you don't want is a Dropbox sitting out for somebody to break into.
Yeah.
So there's no place more secure than the lobby of a police department. So these boxes are there. You can, you know, 24/7 accessible. You can safely, securely, and anonymously drop off your medication, and they make sure it's disposed of correctly so mm-hmm. that we're not having these environmental problems.
That means something.
So when in doubt, call your local police Absolutely. Department and say, will you take my medication? Or if you won't, where can I drop this?
Right. Or even better, you can just go onto our website.
Yeah.
It's ct.gov/Dropbox. So really, really easy to find.
Now, where do you find that?
So right on the internet in ct.gov/Dropbox. And we have a map right there, lists all the drop boxes that are available in the state. You find the one near your town, click on it, get the address, and you're ready to go.
There they are. I see them. Local collection boxes right there. Yep.
Yep. So you can just find one in your town or maybe near where you're doing some errands. And what's great is you don't even have to wait for a specific
computer.
Event.
Right on the computer.
Okay.
Right on
for example, where we are in Bloomfield, Bloomfield Police, 785 Park Avenue. And as you say, Commissioner, there it is. Most of these are police departments. Now, for some of the remote areas, the resident state trooper will take them, but it's all, Brad, it's all the state police.
Is.
Yep, yep. So Fairfield, Guilford, Hamden, Hartford, there you go.
Right,
there you go.
They're all over the place. So mm-hmm. Odds are there's one. If it's not right in your town, it's in a neighboring town. And mm-hmm. easy as can be, they're almost look like a mailbox. Very simply, and you just
Now, how long has this been going on?
Oh, so this
because this is fabulous.
This was a great thing, and it was started by our drug control division, where they just early on back in 2012 saw the need, and so the challenge is, all right, we want people to do it. It needs to be secure. It needs to be handled environmentally appropriate. So it's really inexpensive, and so 2012 the first ones came out, over 3,000 pounds of prescription drugs were disposed of. No, but here's what's better.
3,000 pounds?
In 2016 we had over 33,000 pounds. Last year over 37,000 pounds.
16 tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, 18 tons. Yeah, imagine how many pills are in 37,000 pounds.
Which are being disposed of correctly and are out of people's medicine.
Yeah.
So it's a great program. It's a great thing for people to take advantage of. Every year we see these numbers go up of people using these. We're seeing more police stations putting in these drop boxes and more consumers out there disposing of their drugs. So it's been a great program.
But can you imagine Paul, if we didn't have something would happen?
Well, Brad, I have police officers in my family. I've got a number of police officers in my family. And one or two of them are in what you would term middle class to upper middle class communities. And I see them at holidays now, and they talk about this very thing. Commissioner, as you said, the thefts of opioids from homes and from doctor's offices and from people who, leave them in their car and stuff like that. It's we're talking basically white, middle-class, upper-income areas that are just having, as you say, a major problem with these opioids that people leave around in the house and they don't dispose of them. Because a lot of times, years ago, like one of my police officer relatives said, the only place they would go would be the bedroom to look for jewelry, and money. Now it's the bedroom and the bathroom. Now it's the bedroom and the bathroom for medication. Yeah.
It's a
And that's going
problem.
On today.
Yeah.
Oh, and one thing, which is I thought why it was really timely now, we're coming up on the holidays. So this is really a time. You're going to have more people perhaps in your home
mm-hmm.
that you're hosting or the reverse. Maybe you're going somewhere and now your house is going to be empty for a number of days.
And you're going to broadcast it on Facebook. Hey, I'm not going to be home for 2 weeks. So if you want to rummage through my my medicine cabinet and my jewels, go right ahead.
Right, and I just bought a new flat screen TV. Right. So, that's for another episode of maybe what information you want to put on social media. But for sure, this is, coming up with Thanksgiving and then the, Christmas, Hanukkah, those holidays. This is a time when people either have a lot more people in their mm-hmm. house or are vacating their house. So really a good time to be thinking about doing this. You got it, a month before the holidays, empty out the medicine.
And one of the things too, there's no question, when families are around, mm-hmm. when people are around, guests are around, they don't pay that much attention to it.
Watch the kids. That, who's walking around the house? Who's
sniffing
around the house?
Who's walking around the house? Kids, absolutely, Paul. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you expect them to be in your bathroom because they're
That's right. They're
going to
use the bathroom during the dinner. Yeah.
So certainly this is a good time. It's really easy to do. There's safe, secure, environmentally appropriate ways to do it. And you, who knows what family member, friend you may be saving by doing this.
And again, Commissioner, you mentioned not only the aim at preventing criminal activity, but, you know, you and I were talking before we went on the environmental impact. There are a lot of environmentalists who say now you're actually seeing physical reactions in men and women and stuff that's been charted for years by things like, you know, sperm counts, hormone levels, certain things in the blood, endocrinologist kind of things. And they think that one of the reasons they're seeing these rapid changes, even though our standard of living is relatively clean, might be people putting too many medications down the toilet or through a drain, and they're leaching into the drinking water.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of environmental concerns, and that certainly wouldn't surprise me if that's... I mean, you imagine, what if 37,000 pounds of these medications...
Of antidepressants were
dumped down the sink.
Antidepressants, right. Absolutely.
And
out there.
And opioids, can you imagine?
Yep.
I mean, I took, Commissioner, a half a couple of years ago. You know, my dentist was good. He gave me like 3 oxycodone. He said, I'm giving you 3. You probably won't need more than 1. I took 1, and you see, I'm not a thin guy. I took 1. I woke up 11 hours later, and that was from 1.
Wow.
And he only gave me 3. And you have people just trafficking in these things and not turning them in when they should to police departments. Mind-boggling. I didn't know what day it was when I woke up. Of course, that's normal for me, but, you know.
That may also be for another show.
Yeah, right. I could verify that. Yeah, I've only known you. But anyway, this is stuff that we've got to get on and keep on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've just got stuff going through my head now about how we can not just have you here and then drop it, but there's something that we can probably do to remind people to be looking at this all the time.
Yeah, that would be great. It's certainly, you know, there's a whole lot of things to be done to help combat the opioid epidemic and those types of problems. And certainly one is clearing out the medicine cabinets. There's, you know, other programs we have at DCP, other of our sister agencies and partners are working on. So, you know, another thing out there is there's naloxone, which is a reversal. It's a drug that can reverse an overdose. Now, you never want to have to use that. It's really you're saving somebody at the very last moment in time, but it's certainly better than not being able to save them at all.
No.
And we also have a program and to allow pharmacists to now prescribe naloxone so people can do that.
Great.
Michelle Siegel, Commissioner, Department of Consumer Protection, Drug Disposal. And thank you. So this is very, very interesting. We're going to do this again. This is very,
great.
This is so
important.
So important. So thanks again for coming.
Thanks, Commissioner.
No,
we appreciate it. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, my friends, it's 8:47, 13 minutes.